Israel continues to hit Beirut and other Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon. A DOD intel leak has delayed Israel's targeting of Iran, and Iran is threatening to launch more than 1,000 ICBMs if Israel strikes it. Secretary Blinken has now traveled to the Middle East again, seeking to set up negotiations and assurances with Israel. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries, and welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, October 25 of the year 2024. And here's the news for the week. Israel is continuing to hit southern Lebanon and the city of Beirut. Originally, after they took out Nasrallah there, they seemed to give an indication they weren't going to be hitting the city anymore. At least that's what the president was asking Israel not to do. However, Israel has been back in there hitting that city and the strongholds that are in it. One of the things they've hit is they hit their entire financial center, all the offices where Hezbollah runs all their finances out of. And as a result, the financial system within Hezbollah is in complete disarray. They're not able to pay their bills. They're not able to pay their soldiers. And to add, I guess, insult to injury, Israel then publicly announced exactly where the Hezbollah gold storage is in their millions of dollars sitting under a particular hospital in a bunker in the city of Beirut. I guess that was to incentivize other Hezbollah operatives to know there is gold and silver and money that Hezbollah has. So when they go around saying, we can't pay you, I guess it's to sow a little rebellion within the ranks of Hezbollah. I'm not quite sure about the strategy, but that seems to be the most likely strategy going on. Fighting in southern Lebanon continues on the ground. Several IDF casualties taking place while hundreds of Hezbollah operatives are being killed. Tunnels are being destroyed. In fact, there was one tunnel that crossed the border into Israel they discovered, and they've destroyed it. Munitions are being captured and or destroyed, including a lot more of their rockets that they had. And Hezbollah sent a drone into Israel, came down the Mediterranean coast, and actually struck Netanyahu's home in Caesarea. Caesarea is a Jewish community near the Mediterranean coast. And as a result, Netanyahu said they've gone too far. And now what that means, I'm not sure. But right now, it appears that the IDF and Israeli Air Force is hitting Hezbollah and giving no mercy and no quarter to the Hezbollah operatives. They are dying and they're fleeing. Israel has been preparing for their counterstrike on Iran since Iran launched 180 ballistic missiles at them. We're going back a couple of weeks when this took place. The U.S. has been delaying and trying to limit the Israeli counterstrike to go back to Iran. Almost immediately, it was understood that Israel had the right to go after Iran any way they want because of that. But the president said, oh, no, you can't go after their nuclear facilities. Don't try to set back their nuclear program. And, oh, by the way, don't go after their oil production centers, their oil transfer centers. That would cripple the whole nation. It's like Biden is trying to protect Iran from Israel. Now, the one thing that has been going on that has had some impact on limiting when Israel is going to strike is we've had the Israeli holidays. They are now completed in Israel. The fall holidays are done. So that's no longer an issue about delaying Israel's response. Israel has come out and announced that they have made their decisions and that a strike is planned and everything was ready to be a go. However, in this last week, suddenly the news media reported there was a DOD leak of intel. It was put on social media, Telegram. What was it? It was the DOD's analysis and observations of watching Israel practice and war game on the strike to Iran. Israel has been somewhat closed and not sharing with the White House what they're planning on hitting or when they're going to hit it. but the DOD was tasked to observe them, watch them, and this report pretty much laid out the picture of what Israel was getting ready to do and so forth. Now, when it went out on Telegram, it was immediately available to Iran, and as a result, Israel had to put a clamp on their whole strike plan because the whole thing's been revealed. Now, here's the real question. Was that intel report leaked intentionally, or was it accidental? It came out of the bowels of the DOD, and there is one person that has been identified. I'm not going to repeat who it is because the FBI is still investigating. That seems to be the source of where that came from, and all I can tell you is that particular source has been involved in leaking before and did not lose their security clearance and remained in their position because that person favors the foreign policies of the White House. My estimate is that it was an intentional leak that was intended to delay Israel, intended to warn Iran accordingly. So where do we sit right now? Well, Israel is modifying their plan, and they are now wargaming out a whole new strategy on how to hit Iran. And whereas there may have been an agreement with the White House to not hit nuclear facilities or not hit oil plants and facilities there, it appears now that all targets are on the table with Israel. So we're getting ready to find out, now that the holidays are complete, what impact the U.S. elections, pending elections, will have on it. It may be that Israel will wait and make sure they're not impacting the elections here in the U.S., which they don't want to do. They may wait right up until the election takes place or right after the election takes place. This is where Iran is very frightened, and everybody in the world is paying attention to the U.S. elections for president right now. The Democrats clearly do not want Israel striking Iran before the elections. They want everything to stay as calm as it can be to support Biden's approach to foreign policy to help the Democratic candidate. Here's the conclusions, though, of the whole matter. Biden and the White House, the U.S. administration, can no longer be trusted with intel information for any nation. They have proven that they will leak and violate the intel agreements with allies. Israel is one of the strongest allies to the United States, and this has repeatedly happened where the Biden administration has leaked this information. I would remind you that just before this one, there was a leaked letter between Secretary Blinken and Secretary Austin and the DOD that was alluding to that if Israel didn't comply with U.S. requirements on fighting the war, that arms would be blocked and stopped from being given to Israel. While that will not go well with the American people and the Congress would have a screaming fit if they ever made that decision, they leaked it so that Israel would know they're thinking about it and thus put pressure on Israel to comply with UN's resolutions and comply with the U.S. presidency. We know that the strike on Iran is coming, and at this point, I think it's fair to say all targets are on the table. So we await the news of hearing when is Israel going to strike Iran. By the way, adding to that, Jordan notified Iran that they are not permitted to fly in their airspace whatsoever, that if they do, they will be shot down, and that includes all their missiles and drones. And Jordan then announced that Israel is free to fly in their airspace if they wish to go after Iran. So that's where things are stacking up in the Middle East. Iran knows that Israel's strike is coming. The leadership, and I do mean all of the leadership of the Iranian government, they are hiding in holes in the ground because Israel has carried out a very successful campaign against Hezbollah and Hamas of going after and targeting and killing the leadership that is opposed to them. Nasrallah is an example, Sinwar is an example, all the military commanders are examples, and they even got the Hamas chief negotiator who was sitting in Tehran at one point. And so Khomeini and all of his compadres, their leadership of Iran, including all the Republican Guard generals They're all hiding in holes because they know that Israel has a strategy to come and take out leadership. The rest of the entire Iranian Republican Guard is on full alert, and they're making a demonstration, a display of it to all of the Iranian people. But the fact of the matter is that Iran is sending the signal that they're hoping there will be a limited strike and then everything will calm down, and at the same time saying, if you hit us real hard, then we're going to open up a regional war. It's like they're saying both things out of both sides of their mouth. Iran is threatening, if it's all out, that instead of launching hundreds of ballistic missiles, they're going to launch thousands of missiles. I don't know that they have that many launchers to do it, but it would be multiple salvos that would come. If you recall, the United States has moved a THAAD anti-missile defense system into Israel. It's now operational. And Iran took note of that, saying that the number of missiles that we will launch, even the THAAD system, will not be able to stop. Now, based on what we have learned so far about combat in the Middle East, while the missiles will come flying in and some do land, as an effective military weapon, they just have not proved themselves. They just can't put enough ordnance on the targets that the majority of it either falls in an open area and or it's shot down. The few that get through only do minor damage. There are some casualties occasionally, but it's not an overwhelming weapon. But thousands of ballistic missiles at the same time would have overwhelming consequences to it. But again, it's short-lived. In other words, you launch and you're done. And Israel is now able to retaliate multiple times. And their attacks, when they put the attacks on a nation, are highly effective. In fact, Gallant, the defense minister for Israel, said very soon the world is going to find out how effective the IDF really is, because it sounds like Israel is going to unleash the full force of the IDF toward Iran. Again, it's just setting the stage for what we're going to be observing very soon. We'll see how all that plays out. In the meantime, this week, Secretary of State Blinken has returned back to the Middle East. I think part of the strategy of the U.S. is if we send high-level dignitaries like Secretary of Defense or National Security Advisor or Secretary Blinken, and we go over and kind of do what they call hug the bear policy, that's a reference to where if we put those guys in the land, then they'll hesitate about doing anything because we don't want the dignitaries from our ally to be over there in the crossfire, what's going on. I think that's why he's in the Middle East. He's trying to delay Israel from doing anything. And at the same time, he's hoping that his presence will keep everyone calm. He's also trying to set up the hostage negotiations again. And he's supposed to be traveling to Qatar and supposed to meet with the other people, which is really difficult to do. Who is it that's supposed to be representing Hamas in these negotiations? At best, we think it's representatives from Egypt that will speak for Hamas, but how closely are they connected to anybody that's in Gaza to be able to affect any kind of negotiation? Blinken, on the other hand, has brought $135 million for Gaza aid for the Gaza citizens and is claiming to monitor Israel as aid goes into Gaza. Last week, we heard where the Biden administration threatened Israel that if you don't let aid go into the northern area within 30 days, we will cut off the arms shipments that are going to them. Israel has been battling the final elements of Hamas. They're in pockets of resistance in northern Gaza. And the way they've been getting at them is they choke off the aid, they choke off where they're at, and when they finally emerge, well, then they're able to deal with them. Part of the reason why Israel has done that is because every time an aid truck goes in to northern Gaza, Hamas comes out, attacks the aid truck, steals the stuff that is supposed to be going to the citizens. And Israel is saying all the aid trucks are doing is resupplying Hamas. So they said, let's cut that off so Hamas can't get it. Well, the Biden administration has taken the policy that, well, that aid is really for the civilians. We need that aid to get back in there. But they're not really answering the question of how do you cut off Hamas from it. So the U.S. threatened Israel and said, we'll stop the arms flow if you don't restore it. Blinken is over there to watch the aid flow in. So the aid is now flowing in again. The trucks are now going in. Hundreds of trucks are going in northern Gaza to get to the people, hopefully. Now, let's talk about the hostage negotiations and where we're at the moment. As I mentioned to you before, there doesn't seem to be a designated representative for Hamas that can be part of the negotiations. There may be some other people supporting it, but we don't have a big name person that is really representing Hamas in the negotiations. Netanyahu has made a recent statement this last week after Sinwar's death that said, look, the war is over, so let's have peace. You know, the citizens of Palestine, all you have to do is release the hostages and all offensive operations will stop. And in fact, other things will begin to happen to rebuild your country and so forth for it. A private Israeli citizen, a multi-billionaire, who's been very successful, has also stepped up in conjunction with it and said, for every hostage that is released, $100,000 will be given to the Palestinian who does it. With $100,000 for a Palestinian, you could literally pick yourself up, go to any country in the world you want, and reestablish your whole life again. But Sinwar left instructions before his death that said, if I die, keep all hostages and try to start a regional war. So today, with Netanyahu making his offer of peace, all you have to do is lay down your arms, release the hostages. The Israeli citizen has said, for anybody that releases the hostages, I'll give you $100,000. No one has taken up any of the Israeli offers. Part of it may be that the remaining Hamas operatives will probably kill a Palestinian if he attempts to do this or if he participates in doing this. In the meantime, we still have 101 hostages that have not been returned. 55 of them, we believe, are alive. There's been proof alive. And Israel is carrying on a campaign of what we call the Yellow Ribbon Campaign. And in fact, the little yellow ribbon that I'm wearing on my shirt, if you'll notice, Netanyahu wears it on his. Other members of the government of Israel do it. The citizens are wearing a yellow ribbon to always remember that there are Israeli hostages still in the land, and we need to get them back. So that's where we are for the week. I want to share a scripture, though, that kind of succinctly speaks to where we're at with regard to the hostages. It comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, and see if these aren't perceptive words that speak to the situation of the Israeli hostages in Gaza at the moment. Beginning at verse 24, for three verses, it reads as follows. Can the prey be taken from a mighty man, or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? Indeed, this is what the Lord says. Even the captives of the mighty man will be taken, and the prey of the tyrant will be rescued. For I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your sons. I will feed your oppressors with their own flesh, and they will become drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. And humanity will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So with God's final word on the situation with the hostages, we pray for their release. Please join me in praying for Israel and the release of the remaining hostages. We also need to pray for our upcoming elections. It definitely is not only going to impact this nation, it's going to impact the world as we know it. I want to thank you for viewing this program. Many of you have contacted me and said you've viewed the program and enjoy the program. I so appreciate you doing that. Invite your friends to come in and see what also is the news going on in Israel. And if you'll join Lionel Lamb TV, you'll share your email address with us. We'll send our broadcast, particularly Messianic World Update, directly to your email so that you can pull it up immediately and you won't miss any of the broadcasts. If you join lionandlamb.tv and subscribe to the service, you too will receive all the broadcasts. There'll be no disruption. I'm expecting, as time goes on, more and more disruptions, more and more censoring to take place by the other social media platforms such as Facebook, YouTube, and the others. So this is a way to get around some of that difficulty, and you can see all of our broadcasts each week. In the meantime, shalom to all of you, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom.